You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. It's no secret that the relationship between presidents and the press can be tense, but it has been especially contentious with President Trump.
On the campaign trail last year, candidate Trump floated the idea of making changes to libel laws that affect the press. Since then, he has slammed members of the news media, like the New York Times, for their coverage. The idea of changing libel laws was mentioned again by members of the administration this week. Here's a clip of White House Chief of Staff Reince Priebus talking to ABC's George Carl on This Week.
First of all, there was what he said about opening up the libel laws, tweeting, "The failing New York Times has disgraced the media world, gotten me wrong for two solid years, change the libel laws." That would require, as I understand it, a constitutional amendment. Is he really going to pursue that? Is that something he wants to pursue?
I think it's something that we've looked at, and how that gets executed or whether that goes anywhere is a different story.
Mike Wagner joins us now. He's an associate professor at UW-Madison School of Journalism and Mass Communication. Mike, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Well, Mike, so far there's nothing solid to go on in terms of changes to libel laws, no legislation to look at. But in general, if it got easier, say, for the president to sue reporters, what would that mean for the media?
Well, I think it would mean that, you know, given President Trump's history in the world of business, that he would probably be likely to use lawsuits as ways to threaten opponents. And so if he saw opponents in the news media, which I think it's clear that he does, you know, he might be expected to, if he thought he had a chance in court, use the idea or the threat or the actual use of lawsuits to try to silence critics, intimidate critics, punish those who printed or aired things that weren't true, and so forth.
And for reporters, what would it mean to be a little more vulnerable in your reporting when it came to legal ramifications?
Well, I think if reporters became more vulnerable, if libel laws were changed in some kind of way, it would potentially influence how reporters covered some stories, or could at least, depending upon how these laws might be changed, but of course I think that's extraordinarily unlikely, but it's possible that it could have a silencing effect on critical coverage of the news media. It could be, you know, situations where it's more of a, you know, one person said this versus another person said that. Those stories might be a little more harder to come by in terms of actually, you know, making it to print or being uploaded to the site or being aired in a broadcast situation. But that's all, you know, pretty speculative, I would say, at this point, especially given the lack of likelihood of much changing.
And we're talking about First Amendment rights here, freedom of speech, and to do anything with this, it seems like it would require an amendment. Does that seem likely to you?
It does not seem likely. Right now, the Supreme Court has established a fairly firm and long-standing standard for what has to happen for reporters to be found guilty of libeling a public figure. And basically what has to happen is the person who thinks they've been libeled has to be able to prove what's called actual malice, which means that the reporter knew that they were reporting something that wasn't true and reported it anyway. So it's not just that reporters did something incorrect. So getting a fact wrong is not libel. Getting a fact wrong when you knew it was wrong and your opponent was able to prove that you knew you were wrong, that would be something that would be a situation where you could be found guilty of libel. That's a pretty difficult standard, which is why we don't see many cases you know, that are successful anymore. And it's been that way for, you know, 55, 60 years since the New York Times versus Sullivan case in the 1960s.
Do you think that a change to libel laws would inevitably mean that it would curtail freedom of speech or press freedom, or could it also make the press more accountable, maybe more careful in its reporting?
Well, I think, you know, there are already plenty of mechanisms to make the press careful and accountable in their reporting. Most newspapers run a corrections page when they make errors. Most broadcast organizations will note when they make errors. Plenty of people are willing to point out to reporters when people think reporters are wrong, whether that be in a letter to the editor or on Twitter or Facebook or, you know, other ways of communicating with members of the news media. And so there are plenty of ways to hold journalists accountable, including other journalists. You know, when someone gets something wrong, other journalists are quick to point that out. And when they do, it's a reminder across the board in the profession you know, that there are consequences for you know, getting things wrong. And in a profession where you're really trying to report the verifiable truth, you know, trust is critically important. And eroding that trust by getting stuff wrong all the time is a terrible strategy as a news organization, which is why reporters tend to work so hard to get things right.
I mean, that corrections page, people have complained over the years that the story runs, there's an error, the damage is done, and nobody reads the corrections page. I mean, social media might be an outlet that's more immediate, but as far as the corrections pages go, is there more there that could happen?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it would be more useful if the correction was as big as the original claim. And so if the story was on the front page and something was wrong, the correction, in my opinion, ought to be on the front page as well. But yeah, it is the case that, you know, the first thing people hear tends to be the thing that sticks with them the most when they're learning new information. And so, you know, tons of studies have shown that when a fact is initially reported incorrectly, many people tend to believe that even after the corrections happen. And so there are consequences, but that's part of having a free press. That's part of living in a free society. The news media, like all other things, are not perfect.
So looking at President Trump's dissatisfaction with some of the libel laws and some of his experiences with the press, do you think that his comments, I mean, should we be interpreting them to mean he has actual intention, or do you think he's saying, hey, I'm dissatisfied with things, and maybe I'm doing a little saber-rattling here?
Well, you know, not being able to look into the president's mind, it's hard to know for sure, but I think the quote you played from Reince Priebus, the soundbite you played from his chief of staff, was really telling, right? He said, well, it's something we've looked at, but whether that's likely is a whole other thing. And I think that is Washington speak for this isn't going anywhere.
I want to play a clip now. The president made an unconventional move over the weekend when he decided not to attend the White House Correspondents' Dinner. And we have heard a comedian, Hasan Minhaj, who is performing. He had something to say about the fact that Trump chose not to be there. He went to a rally instead. Here's a little bit.
Only in America can a first-generation Indian-American Muslim kid get on this stage and make fun of the president. The orange man behind the Muslim ban. And it's a sign to the rest of the world. It's this amazing tradition that shows the entire world that even the president is not beyond the reach of the First Amendment. But the president didn't show up. Because Donald Trump doesn't care about free speech. The man who tweets everything that enters his head refuses to acknowledge the amendment that allows him to do it.
And pretty strong line of comedy, if you call it that, or commentary, rather, by the comedian hosting there, Hasan Minhaj. What do you hear in that clip, Mike?
Well, I think I hear the comedian expressing a frustration that many opponents of the president, many members of the news media, many people in the president's own party, a wide variety of people feel about how the president has treated the news media, calling them an enemy of the state, saying that he wants to, perhaps change libel laws as a way to kind of threaten the silencing of reporters. And so I think you're hearing, you know, from the White House correspondent, you know, Speaker Hasan Minhaj, I think you're hearing just an expression of frustration, and also that expression occurring through a statement of traditional American values, like upholding the First Amendment, like the powerful being held to account by the press and the people, and things that we traditionally think about when we think as Americans about what makes us unique as a country.
Now, President Trump, as we said, he has had this especially contentious relationship with the press. Is this unusual, or is this something that we've seen before if you look back through the years?
Oh, I think when you've had a president, you've had a person who's had a contentious relationship with the press in one way or another. That's true of President Obama. That's true of President Clinton, both President Bush's and President Reagan. Through the annals of American history, the relationship is almost always a contentious one. But usually the president will say, or will complain about the questions that get asked or the issues the news media focus on, but not about the news media's right to do it. And there's very it's very rare to have presidents engage in the kind of consistent, systematic complaining about news coverage that doesn't make them look good, especially in the public way that President Trump does it. That's pretty unique, especially with respect to the sustained way that he keeps doing it.
So as someone who's with the Department of Journalism and Mass Communication, are there any particular signs that you're looking for to see what direction this relationship might take and what we might expect in terms of maybe actual legal changes in the terms of libel or other directions that affect the media?
Well, I think the first place to look is the changing norms between the relationship between the president and the news media, the president and the public, the president and other foreign leaders, the president and Congress. And we see that one way President Trump has been a unique president is in the breakdown of a lot of norms. The president has engaged in conversations with foreign leaders without telling his own State Department. The president didn't go to the White House Correspondents' Dinner. The president has engaged in lots of kinds of behaviors that break down traditional norms. And so that's something that I, you know, think is important for us as a citizenry, and especially important for the news media to watch and chronicle so that people can decide for themselves whether the breakdown of these norms is a good thing or not.
Mike, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure.
That was Mike Wagner, associate professor at UW-Madison School of Journalism and Mass Communication, joining us there to talk about libel laws after members of the Trump administration said the White House was considering changing them.